Welcome to the Self-Publishing School Podcast. This is the podcast to listen to if you're an aspiring writer or an author who wants to be more successful. On this show, you'll learn how to write and launch a book successfully, all from the top authors and people just like you who are doing it at the highest level. I'm your host, Chandler Volt, the founder of Self-Publishing School, the author of the book called Published, and the CEO of selfpublishing.com. For free training on how to publish a book that sells 10,000 copies, go to selfpublishing.com/free training. Hey, Chandler Bolt here, and joining me today is Phil Rosenkrantz. Dr. Phil Rosenkrantz, he's a devoted educator with a passion for lifelong learning and promoting student success. It's something we have in common. Different forms of education, but definitely a similar purpose. And passion. He's the author of a book called Letters to Uncle Dave. It's a World War II biography slash mentor, memoir. He's also a student of self-publishing school, and it's just been a blast being part of Phil's journey with this book over the last however long it's been, and seeing him on group coaching calls, seeing him at Author Advantage Live, all kinds of stuff. It's just been really cool to follow the journey, and the best is yet to come. So Phil, great to have you here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah. So I guess first things first, why did you decide to write this book? It's as we were talking about before the interview, it's kind of a different genre than a lot of people write in more traditional nonfiction. So why this book? What's the why behind it? And kind of why this type of book or this genre?
Okay, that's a great first question, because if you don't understand this, none of the rest of what I say will make sense. So I was born in 1949 after World War II, and I grew up in the 50s knowing I had an uncle who was a paratrooper, and he was missing in action, never came home. The family never knew what happened to him, where he died, how he died. My grandmother, and this is a key part of the story, my grandmother refused to believe that he was dead and was convinced he would come home. And she died in 1960. So that was 15 years after he was missing. And by then, people weren't talking about my uncle anymore because my grandmother wouldn't have it. And so I call those the denial years. But it affected our family. They were never allowed to have the proper closure. Then from there, 60 to 1998, I call those the silent years. Nobody was talking about my uncle anymore. And in 98, I saw the movie Saving Private Ryan, very famous World War II movie, featured Matt Damon as Private Ryan, and he was lost. He was a paratrooper lost in Europe, and Tom Hanks, Captain Miller, was sent in to find him. So I watched the movie and I'm going, oh, there's parallels here. My uncle was a paratrooper. And then Private Ryan had three brothers in the war. My uncle had three brothers, three of my other uncles in the war. And there were other parallels I won't bother to mention, but I said, you know what? We have search engines now. I wonder what I could find out. And I thought, I might, with a little luck, find out where he died and how he died, what battle he died in, or something like that. I never dreamed that I would find out what I did. And so I just started surfing the internet, you know. I found a website that listed his how he died, and it said that he was missing in action in the Netherlands during Operation Market Garden, and his name was on the wall of the missing at the Netherlands American Cemetery. Well, now I had something to go on, and I knew how to make web pages, so I made a website. I started telling my cousins that what I was trying to do. Chandler, I had zero artifacts about my uncle when I started this. I didn't even have a picture of him. Mm-hmm. But he was the middle child of 11 children. My cousins had stuff. And they said, oh, we'll give you all our stuff. I got 56 letters. I got medals that were sent home, photo albums. I got newspaper clipping albums because he was famous in some battles. And then I made a website. And then I also asked the webmaster of that first website, do you have any email addresses? And Chandler, this is the unbelievable part. He sends me 10 email addresses. This is the early days of the internet. He said, I don't know who these people are, but they've sent me something. This is the email addresses. He sent me 10. 3 weeks later, one of them emails me and says, how did you find me? I've been looking for a relative of your uncle's for 5 years.
Oh, wow.
I said, what? And so turns out his father, who was still alive, was a veteran who was one of my uncle's best friends. I talked to him and he said, here's the phone number of another veteran who's still alive, who was an eyewitness to what happened to your uncle. So I called that guy. He told me exactly what happened and gave me more phone numbers of other veterans who knew my uncle and one who was writing a book. I called that guy and he says, oh, I'm working on the section about your uncle right now. So wow. One thing led to another. And to make the long story shorter, so over the next 20 years, I've been to the Netherlands 4 times. I've visited the place where my uncle was killed.
Wow.
I've met 2 Dutch researchers that have been looking for my uncle. One of them started when he was 15 years old.
Wow.
And he is the one. It took him 35 years. He's an amazing guy. 35 years, but he's the one that figured out where my uncle was.
Oh, wow.
So that's no way. That's part of the book. But a big part of the book is also the story of the lack of closure.
Mm.
And so me being able to get most of the closure I was looking for and get it in the book was one of my true joys. And so,
big. Yeah. That's awesome.
And writing the book and all that other stuff is more of the story.
So let me jump in there. I mean, this almost sounds like a investigative journalism, and just this long journey to uncover the story. At what point did you find self-publishing school in that journey? And then why did you decide to work with us to help with this book?
That's the great second question. So I told myself about 10 years into this journey, so many amazing things that happened. I said, if we ever find my uncle, I'm going to drop what I'm doing and write a book. And so in 2018, I get the message they had identified his remains. They brought him back to LAX, you know how they come out of the cargo hold in the coffin with the flag draped over it. We had all the publicity. And then 4 days later, we had a burial at Riverside National Cemetery, where incidentally, he ended up having 4 brothers in World War II, including my father, and they're all buried together there. So I started writing the book, and I didn't take me very long to write my first draft, Chandler, and this is part of the interesting, I think this is going to help some people. My first draft had 28,000 words. That's a reasonably, you know, below average book, whatever. And I bought your book published. So I'm following published, your first edition of it, yes. I'm following it to the letter on the writing. I'm getting beta readers, asking people, what do you, you know, 3 words that describe me. I'm doing all this stuff that was out of your book. And I got a copy editor and I got a developmental editor. Well, the developmental editor, for those that don't know what that is, that's a person that reads your book. And from the story standpoint, from your target audience point of view, from your genre point of view. So this woman was a World War II researcher, writer, editor, she was the right person. She gives me 10 pages back, Chandler, of good stuff, and says, you need to add a lot of stuff to your book. She said, you're writing to people that want back matter. You know, fiction wants front matter. Yeah. Nonfiction wants back matter. She says, you need a timeline.
What's the difference for people who don't understand?
The back matter is at the back of the book. So she said, you need references, end notes. You need a timeline. You need an index. You need all that stuff that a researcher would want, because some of your genre are interested in that. The front matter is where you put in testimonials and stuff like that, stuff to psych people up. But so she said, and you have to add the letters that he wrote, those letters, you have to put those in the book. I used 49 of the 56 letters I had in the book. Mm-hmm. And when I add, by the time I added all the rest of the stuff, the book was 83,000 words.
Wow.
But it was worth it. It's what made it real. And the letters in the book, and if you don't mind me plugging Author Advantage Live here.
Sure.
Rami did a session, an add-on session about fiction, and one of the Author Advantage Lives, I can't remember which one, and he was talking about the importance of getting, for fiction, but it really applies to nonfiction, Chandler, the importance of getting your audience interested in the main character early on. Otherwise, why do they want to read the rest of your book?
Interesting. Yep.
And those really letters did that. Those letters got people to like my uncle because his letters were funny. He was self-deprecating. He told cute stories. He was an artist. He would draw pictures in the letters. He would send sketches with them.
Yeah.
Some of which I had, some of which were lost.
Yeah. That's great.
He had good exchanges with his siblings. One of his brothers worked in Hollywood with famous actors. And so he would get photos and things sent to him, which was a big hit with the other bear
trap. Yeah, that's cool.
It got people to like my uncle. And if you read the reviews, some people said, he's my Uncle Dave.
Oh, wow. That's great.
So my thing now is for my next books, how am I telling my story to get people? It's not just facts and a timeline, it's the story.
That's an important takeaway for people who are thinking about writing a biography, memoir, or even fiction. Like you said, that was the original intention for Rami's advice. So I'll jump in here with one thing. And then we can, then I want to ask a bunch more questions. So for those who haven't heard, Author Advantage Live is an event that we host every single year. It is virtual this year, hopefully for one last year. If you want to get a ticket, grab a ticket at authoradvantagelive.com. If you're seeing this right about the time that this episode comes out, grab a ticket for this year's event before ticket prices go up. And if you're seeing this after the fact, then grab a ticket for next year. It's an awesome event. You'll love it if you want to sell more books and learn more about that. So Phil, at what point you said you read a copy of the book, of my book published, the first edition, not the second edition, but at what point did you decide to join the SBS and why?
Okay. So, my copy editor was also my, formatter, and she did a whole bunch of other things. She coordinated getting the index, but then, and then she even put together a cover design. So then I'm stuck because now it's time to publish. And she didn't know all the answers. I didn't know all the answers. And so I joined self-publishing school.
Cool.
Because those coaching calls, having individual coaching sessions, all the lessons that were available, being able to jump on and ask a question, because the technology and the steps and Amazon and Ingram Spark, all that stuff, you need to talk to somebody. You need to have.
Yeah.
You just can't get it all by Googling or reading a book.
Yeah, and that makes sense.
I was stalled. And then after I joined self-publishing school, put together the launch and all that, I published 3 months later.
Wow. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Phil, I want to talk about the launch and marketing and all that stuff here in just a bit. Before I do that, I want to go back maybe to the writing. I think this would be helpful for people. Mm-hmm. What was the toughest part of the writing process for you? And I guess what would be your specific tips, knowing what you know now about the writing piece, for other people who are maybe writing a biography or memoir, if they want to write a better book?
The writing was the easy part, so to speak. But what the hard part was making sure that it would read good with my audience. And you, in the book published, you recommended getting beta readers. So I had 6 beta readers, and some of them came across with really good suggestions, things that, you know, I was blind to. And then they also became actually good bird dogs to find more, you know, experts and stuff like that. So what really helped me was my concept map. I'm not an outline person. I'm an educator. I tell my students, I hate outlines. Here's what you do instead. You know, I teach note taking. There's no outline. So my concept map, I carried it around, folded up in my pocket. I have it right here, which of course the podcasters can't see, but it's got, of course you can't either. But then I would, to be honest, what I do is I would think about something. I'd pull out the concept map, and then whatever that balloon was, I would use my cell phone and I would send an email to myself with my thoughts about that item.
Mm, cool. So
I would narrate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had a way of coding the subject. And then whenever I got around to it, I would collect all those, download them, tweak them, edit them, and then put them in the proper place. So my book was written not linearly at all. It was all over the place.
I see. Yeah.
Do you recommend that? Or would you, if you were to go back, would you do that differently?
That's the way I wrote the rough draft for my second book too.
Cool.
And so that works for me. Because if I just sit down and start typing for cold, it's not as spontaneous for me.
Yeah.
Because I'm used to when I teach, you know, I don't read anything. I just have a bullet list of what I want to say, and then I say it. And so, that helped me a lot. And like I said, the editors helped me a lot. And yeah. We had a professional cover design.
Yeah.
You may not remember this. When I put up my first cover, you and Sean were mortified. And you were very polite. You were very polite, but it was pretty much saying, nah, that cover ain't gonna do it. and so I hired 100 covers up.
Cool.
They did a great job for me. I don't know how they're doing today. I hear things, but they did an awesome job for me, and the cover has been a real good thing. You guys talk about
better.
You have to have a good title.
Yes.
You have to have a good cover. And then the book description. So I followed the SPS book description formula, and I think it got me in the ballpark.
Cool.
And then I finally ended up at Brian Cohen's people write me one.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I noticed an improvement in my sales just from having having that.
That's great. And,
yeah.
Hey, Chandler Bolt here. I hope you're loving this episode so far. It's time to go from inspiration to implementation. All right, so if you've learned something, we want to help you implement what you've learned with your book. So what I want you to do right now is go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a publishing consultation with one of the experts on my team. We'll talk about your goals for your book, your dreams, your challenges, your next steps, and we'll start putting together a plan. All right, so go to selfpublishing.com/schedule, book a call with the team. Let's see how we can help with your book. It's time to implement.
Let's talk about launch for a sec. How did you launch this book successfully? And what were the two or three things that you've seen sell the most copies?
Okay, I did the stealth launch first, and I set it up to where I was giving free ebooks to my launch team and to people that said they would buy a copy. Of course, they were getting it for free, hoping, you know, because I was looking for reviews. And I could have done, I had a couple hundred names on my email list, and 750 people downloaded my free ebook, but they didn't produce as many reviews as I wanted.
Definitely. Yeah.
And so I kept pushing for reviews, and I'll have to say, you know, when I finally got to 100 reviews, I think that's when it's easier to sell on Amazon, because people will see that. They're shopping for a book.
Yeah.
They look at the reviews and they look at the stars, but they also look at the number.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that 100 is that first kind of, you know, milestone as far as reviews.
I agree.
And so what I didn't do was book promotions at the time. And so I'm going to be doing a relaunch of my book, and that's going to be a part of it.
That's smart. Awesome. Yeah. Let's talk. So I love that you mentioned reviews and relaunches. Obviously, for those who haven't heard yet, my new book published. There's a specific chapter on how to get your first one or your next 100 reviews for your book, right? Phil, how did you do it? I was looking, it looks like you've got about 134 reviews at the time of recording this interview, 134 reviews on your book. How'd you do it? What worked well in terms of getting reviews?
Well, I asked people whenever I could. I made a mistake. This was a mistake I made during the launch. People were telling me, Phil, my reviews aren't showing up. I made the mistake of contacting Amazon. That's a no-no. What business does the author have having anything to do with the reviews? So, but I would ask people, you know, if you're, if you feel up to it, please submit an honest review. And that's all I would do. I didn't pressure them or anything. Yeah. And so I just did a lot of that.
Just one-on-one follow-up mostly?
Yeah, just casual follow-up. Because I wanted to leave some integrity in the system, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't wanna, and some of my best reviews are from people I have no idea who they are or what they...
That's cool. That's got to be a great feeling.
Yeah. And the ones I really like are when they say, oh, I feel like he's my uncle. I mentioned that earlier.
Yeah.
And anything, done a lot of podcasts and Zoom presentations. So during COVID, I couldn't do book signings. So yeah. That's pretty much what I did.
Cool. This might be one of those things, but anything else that you've seen or noticed that's moved the copies of books since the launch?
Well, I've started to contact bookstores.
Cool.
Specifically gift shops at military bases.
Oh, that's really smart.
Yeah.
How's that going so far? And any
So far I've actually physically done it once at a base. That was at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, in April.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked in, and before I got out, she said, "How many books can you give me to put on my shelf, you know?" And sign them. So those were signed copies.
Cool.
And then I've been to my library here, and my library, I have a home in Arizona also.
Yeah.
So, but libraries, you're not selling books, you're just giving them one that they that they loan out.
Yeah.
But telling the story has been a rich experience. And I when I do a podcast or a Zoom, I would say maybe 5 or 10% of those people will go and buy the book.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And with a story-based book, like what you've written, I feel like it's helpful to get out and tell a story on these podcasts. And because then you get people interested in the story, and I'm finding myself this way in our conversation, right? But I'm sure even people listening to this are like, "Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah,
I want to hear about Uncle Dave, and I want to read this," which is cool. A couple of final questions I have for you, Phil. What was you mentioned this earlier, but what was a little bit? But what was the most helpful part about working with self-publishing school in your book?
It was the group coaching calls. Being able to talk to people, getting help from the coaches, but also the other people in the room. My coach, Scott Allen, has been amazing. He's been helping me a lot with my strategy, because that's been one of my things is, you know, what direction am I going? What's my brand and all that?
Yeah.
And, but Elaine's an amazing coach, Rachel, you know, others there. They're all really helpful. And like I said, if they don't necessarily know a specific answer, there's some pretty sharp people in the room.
Yeah.
And one of the nice things about being in self-publishing school is, you know, I usually every week end up buying one or two books at least.
Yeah.
You know, from the mastermind group.
Yeah.
Thing. And there are a lot of really great books being published.
Yeah.
That I enjoy reading and writing a lot of reviews.
That's awesome.
Not as many as I promised, but yeah.
Well, hey, if you're listening to this, you're a self-publishing school student and you've read Phil's book, leave this man a review. He's been such an awesome just supporter. And like I said, at the top of this, it's been really fun seeing you on group coaching calls and learning and implementing and week by week, things getting better. And even just a simple thing, like you said, is the cover of seeing a first iteration to now seeing the cover on Amazon. That's really good. I think it's been awesome to see. So last couple questions I have for you, Phil. Any advice for people who are thinking about coming to Author Advantage Live? And what did you mentioned you've been to, I think, at least a couple of our Author Advantage Live conferences. What were your biggest takeaways from those conferences, and any advice for people thinking about going?
Well, the two I've been to were great. The last one knocked it out of the park. John Maxwell I'm a fan of John Maxwell, but he was really great. And then Bella's talk about how to scale your book to others. That's been very helpful to me for my future thoughts, because I didn't know where to go after my first book. And then all the presentations were good quality. And then I really enjoy meeting other people too, when we have the mixer part. And so I really enjoy that. So I've got my VIP ticket. I'm ready to go for the next one.
And that's awesome. We're excited to have you, Phil. It's going to be a blast. We've got to try to raise the bar from last year's. It's a high bar. The bar is maybe too high. I'm like, how are we going to exceed expectations this year? But guys, if you haven't already grabbed a ticket, grab a ticket at authoradvantagelive.com. We'd love to see you there. Phil would love to see you there, and we can get in the room together. And kind of as you alluded to, Phil, it's one of my favorite quotes: if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. I think there's a lot of smart people in that room and in the rooms of self-publishing school as a whole. And my goal is always to be the dumbest person in the room, which I definitely am every time I show up to Author Advantage Live. So it's a lot of fun. So last question for you, Phil, would be, knowing what you know now, you know, it's been a multi-decade journey to gathering the information that ultimately crystallized in the publishing of this book. Knowing what you know now, what would your advice be to the previous Phil or all the other Phils out there who are thinking about writing their first book?
Well, I found you've heard this before, the writing of the book was the easy part, the marketing. And I think I would have started to try and learn both the technology and the details of marketing a lot earlier, rather than all of a sudden saying, oh, I'm supposed to launch. How do I do that? the technology part, I mean, I've been involved with technology as an educator for many years, but now you're into, you know, having a mailer light, and then you've got to have your website and your lead magnets and, you know, all those different and then formatting and learning about images. And just, there's just all these things. I just wish that I had started spending a little time ahead on that, so there wouldn't have been as much of a surprise, or hardship.
That's great, Phil. You're inspiring. It's so cool to see your journey and to be a small part of it. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming on and doing this interview and inspiring other people. Books change lives. They've changed your life in the process, and now you're changing other people's lives, both through your uncle's story and through sharing your story of how you did it on this show. So I think it's awesome. Where can people go to grab a copy of your book? As a reminder, what's the title of the book? Where can they go to buy it and find it and anywhere else they can go to find out more about you and what you're up to?
Okay. The full title of the book is Letters from Uncle Dave. Then the subtitle is The 73-Year Journey to Find a Missing in Action World War II Paratrooper. So there's no doubt about what the book's about. If you just search for Letters from Uncle Dave, it will take you to Amazon, and you can order from Amazon. And I also sell through Ingram Spark, but Amazon is there. And so right now I have the ebook, soft cover, and the hardcover book is full color, 106 color images. So that's my coffee table book.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah, I had my family in mind for that one.
Yeah, that's cool. Such a great example, Phil, of writing a book that uncovers the legacy. I know a lot of people listening right now are probably thinking about, hey, there's someone in my family that I want to go on that similar journey and write about them. But then also of just this journey to writing and publishing a great book. I mean, I feel like so many inspiring lessons in your journey and in how you've approached this. And so I appreciate you being here and best of luck with the next book and the books beyond that.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure being here.
All right, Phil, I'll see you at Author Advantage Live.
Yes. All right.
Thank you so much for watching or listening to this episode of the Self-Publishing School Podcast. I know there's so many places that you could be spending your time. There's other podcasts that you could be listening to, YouTube channels that you could be watching. So thank you so much. It means the world. Now, I want you to do three things right now if you found this episode helpful. All right, number one, I don't know if you know this, but we've got a YouTube channel. It's a companion channel to this podcast. All the video versions of the episode are on the YouTube channel. So number one, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Number two, if you're listening to this podcast wherever, whether this is Spotify, Apple Podcasts, number two, I want you to subscribe to this podcast right now so you don't miss a future episode. And then number three, this is probably the most important, leave a review on the podcast. All right, reviews are super important and help this podcast get discovered by other people. So number three, leave a review on the podcast. Thank you so much. I'll see you in the next episode. If you're on the fence about scheduling a publishing consultation call with my team, maybe you're not quite ready for that, I've got some free training that I think will be really helpful for you. All right, all you have to do is go to register to sign up. Go to selfpublishing.com/free training. When you do, you're also going to get a free digital copy of my new book, Published. And on that training, you're going to learn the next step, so how to implement with your book. So how to write, how to publish, how to launch successfully. So go to register right now at selfpublishing.com/free training. I'll see you there.